Now, we're entering the fourth day of strike action by the island's bus drivers in an ongoing row over paying conditions, which shows little sign of letting up. For those relying on public transport, there's a limited bus service running, while the Department of Infrastructure has worked to reopen the Manx Electric Railway for anyone who is able to commute by tram. Yesterday, we heard from residents who've been caught up in the disruption, and this morning we're going to hear from the Infrastructure Minister himself. Minister Tim Crookall joins us in the studio now. Moramai Minister. Thanks for joining us.
Moramai, good morning.
Earlier this month, on this very programme, you said there was an offer on the table. You wanted to resolve the dispute before strike action began. We're now on day four of the 10-day strike. What specifically has changed since that interview, and why was it not enough?
Well, I suppose the specific things that have changed, offers have been made and turned down by both sides. I think there's another offer came forward yesterday from Unite the Union, which we looked at last night and are looking at again this morning. And there is a meeting this afternoon between Unite the Union and ourselves, with MERS negotiating in between of that. So hopefully this afternoon we might get there. I am really hopeful that we can sort this out sooner rather than later, because obviously it has a big effect on everybody.
And do you accept that ultimately responsibility for resolving this dispute sits with you and your department? I know you said that you don't get involved in at the actual negotiating room, but have you taken any steps personally over the past 4 days to try and move those negotiations forward?
Well, it's between my department and Unite the Union and MERS, if you like, who are helping us to sort of negotiate this and try and find a way towards resolving this. And you said, yeah, when I was here last time, I made the offer that if needed, and politicians don't normally get asked to go into the room. 1:15 last Friday afternoon, I got a phone call, and by 2:45, I was sat with Debbie Halls all in her office, and we sat for an hour and a half, and an hour and a quarter, and we had a chat, just me and her, and we were talking about this. You know, so anything I can do to help resolve that, resolve this, you know, I'm willing to do.
And we know that paying contractual issues is what the walkouts ultimately come down to. Is there any flexibility left in the government's positions on those sticking points, or have you reached the limit of what you're prepared to offer?
I would say there's flexibility on both sides still. There was, say, Unite have come back with an offer which is being considered at the moment and will be discussed this afternoon, and they've changed slightly, and you know, they change and we change. So somewhere in the middle there is hopefully some common ground that we can agree on. I don't know how far apart we are at the moment. Probably too far still, if I'm honest. But you know, we're slowly getting there, I hope. And say, the sooner we can resolve this, the better, for everybody's sake, the drivers, but everybody who wants to use the bus service as well.
Well, Minister, let's look at the impact this is having for people around the island. Bus Vanin operating this reduced contingency timetable. Is that sustainable for the remaining 6 days of this strike, do you think?
I honestly don't know, Ben. You know, we're using the staff that we've got down Bank Circus and everything. You know, we're running as many buses as we can, but obviously those staff can only do so many hours a day and things. And you know, the drivers that want to drive, you know, obviously we're using those as well. But another 6 days is going to take its toll, and you know, drivers can only do a certain amount of hours a day and things, and then they'll normally have sort of 6 days on and 2 days off, whatever it is, you know. And we've got office staff that are doing that, trying to do that, and they've got a day job to do as well. So you know, something will probably give if we're not careful.
Well, the strike has been on since Saturday. Have you had any chance at all so far to make any kind of assessments regarding the sort of wider economic and social impact as well, and particularly if this disruption continues?
The social impact, obviously, we can guess, you know, in towns at the weekend and in the evenings and that, people are not getting out. We know that the bus is finished early at the weekends and things. So people are not getting that service. And again, people getting in and out of work. It was quite quiet yesterday. I came through at 8:45 yesterday. I left Peter at 8:45. It was busy in and around the schools with cars, with children being delivered to schools and things. It seemed quiet on the road. So whether people had come in early by car or not, I don't know. But people are obviously making other alternative arrangements and either car sharing and getting in early or whatever. But this you know, is having an impact on everybody that uses the service, and we want to resolve it as soon as possible.
I know we've had only one day of the schools being back since half term, but have you been liaising with the Education Minister? Do you know yesterday, was attendance affected at all by the strikes?
The feedback I got yesterday from Education was that it was fairly good turnout at the school, so I don't think there were two missing from the schools yesterday. So again, you know, inconvenience to parents having to drop the children off probably, for which I thank them, but I think most children got in yesterday.
I mean, so many people rely on buses. At what point would you consider revising your position in order to bring this to an end? You know, you've got to reach, obviously, some kind of compromise. At what point do you sort of keep going to from the DOI's point of view?
Well, we're revising every day. Or, you know, every time we have to put an offer into Unite the Union, or whenever they give us an offer, we're looking at those. So it's nearly every day that we're doing that. So, you know, we're not sitting around waiting for something to come in. There's work going on all the time.
I mean, cards on the table as we sit here this morning. You say you've got a meeting again this afternoon between the two sides. I mean, sitting here right now, do you think a resolution is possible today, or are we still quite some way from that?
I honestly don't know, Ben. I don't know who's, you know, what the union are prepared to accept. This is an offer they gave us yesterday. We've priced it up and things, so we'll go back and discuss that this afternoon. So I really don't want to, you know, call that, if you like, because I could be well out.
Well, if this dispute is not fully resolved, what assurances can you give the Isle of Man public that will not see further strike action later in the year? Because presumably strikes will go on and on if you can't reach some kind of resolution. We're just over a month away from the Easter weekend. There'll be a lot of visitors on the island. And dare I mention, you know, TT is only 3 months away. Are you sort of thinking that far down the line at the moment? What impact could this have on those big holidays, those big events, if you can't get this sorted?
Somebody will be thinking about those, you know, TT further down the line. I'm more conscious about what we're doing now and over the next few weeks, you know, and see if we can get this resolved as soon as possible for the good of everybody here, not just visitors that are coming to the island, but everybody that's on the island.
Are you concerned about TT as it stands?
Well, I will be if we get closer to it, absolutely, yeah. But, you know, we've got Easter before that and we've got other events before that, and we've got every weekend and every night when people want, and day when people want to go and use the buses.
We know that public transport is a core public service. The government has done a lot to try and emphasise the need to use public transport in many ways. Right now, passengers are dealing with that uncertainty, disruption. Some have told us it's a stressful experience. Well, why should they have confidence that you can resolve this dispute swiftly and for the long term? And what would success look like for you at the end of these 10 days?
Well, success will see, you know, the bus drivers back at work driving the buses and the public being able to use the service as they were before. And the fact that, you know, we're not being threatened with more strikes in the future because they're not happy with what they've, you know, what's been offered. So we need to find a solution that is happy, is acceptable to the drivers, and the department can afford to do it.
Well, while you're here, Minister, yesterday, as we move on to a different subject now, you announced that the plans for sea defences around West Quay in Ramsey had been withdrawn. You said this followed serious concerns raised by the community. Who exactly, first of all, did you hear those concerns from?
So since I took over the job, for one reason or another, I'm going around talking, trying to get around all the local authorities. So 2 weeks ago, I was up at Ramsey with a senior officer from the department, talking to Ramsey commissioners, and the first thing on the bill, on the agenda, was a local government bill, and the second thing was West Quay Ramsey. Now, this has been around for a long time, this issue, and trying to resolve the flooding, the car parking, and, you know, space for the boats, the fishing boats to still be able to use the quayside and all sorts of things, and it's never been resolved. But for some reason, the department decided they were putting the plans in that nobody supported outside of the department. When we went to Ramsey last week and spoke to the commissioners, the whole board was vehemently against it. And I've heard from other people up there, the Northern Chamber of Trade and other people in the town, who really, really don't want this.
Yeah, well, when you say nobody was for it, do you think that's everybody? Did you sort of put a lot of feelers out to the public on this as well?
Well, you've got to accept Ramsey Town commissioners are the face of Ramsey, if you like, as in all local authorities are. It's their town. They represent the locals, the constituents. And if they, the 12 of them, don't want it, why are we trying to force something onto them that's going to be there forever and a day till we've all long gone, that they don't want? It's like, it doesn't work for Ramsey. They're going to lose parking. They're going to lose the site of the harbour, if you like, with a 4-foot wall. And I am not prepared to make them have that, you know, if they don't want it. Why would we spend £8 million of the taxpayers' money on something that basically... And it ruins it for visitors as well. I've heard from people from well outside of Ramsey that go there to visit and say, what are you doing?
I think you just touched on it there briefly, but just give us a flavour. What exactly were the concerns expressed to your department?
Well, the height of the wall, for one, you know, the 4-foot wall, is, you know, it's not needed, apparently. Now, I absolutely accept, and I think most other people do as well, something has to happen, because we remember the floods in Ramsey a few years back, 10 years back, you know, and the man kayaking down the street and all sorts. Something has to happen, you know. Does it need to be a 4-foot wall? I'm not qualified, but I wouldn't want a 4-foot wall if it was my town. And, you know, the chamber and the shopkeepers and that don't want to lose the parking down the quayside either. So we need to be able to find that resolve. And it's all very well us saying, well, you can find parking elsewhere in Ramsey, but it's not where it is now, which is convenient for those that want to just pop in and then pop out again.
Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper has accused you of withdrawing the plans based on a handful of comments made on social media. And based on what you've just been saying there, you wouldn't agree with that?
No, I absolutely wouldn't. And if you look at the comments I did see, you know, when I had a few minutes to look through it last night, most of them were very supportive. Yeah, I think he said, and Michelle Hayward, the former minister, said there was only 5 complaints or objectors on the portal. When I spoke to Ramsey commissioners who represent the town, they were absolutely, and when they had their meeting with the department in July, they said they do not want this, and the department have gone down the road of trying to force this on them. And I just totally disagree with that. And I've said to every local authority I've met since I've been in the job, you know, we are here to work with them and help them, give them what they want in their towns and villages. And I stand by that.
So will you be coming back with new proposals? Will you be going back to the drawing board, redesigning this, and then coming back with better plans?
As soon as we can, we need to get back up to Ramsey and talk to the people up there. We need to sort of talk to the commissioners, have a public display again, and go back and start, you know, what can we do with that wall? The wall is the biggest objective. Well, the wall and the parking, but, you know, can we do a 2-foot wall with glass on the top or something like that so people can see the harbour? I don't know, but, you know, we need to have a look at those things, because once it's in, that wall is there forever and a day.
And it couldn't have been cheap for an architect to draw up those schemes initially. Do you know how much has been spent? I mean, how much more are you willing to spend on a seawall design that people may, again, look at the new plans and say, we don't like that either?
I don't know how much has been spent. I will ask that question. It's very hard to sort of work out with officers' time and this, that and the other. But you're long thousands of pounds, obviously. But when you look at what we're going to spend, and I think it's between £6 to 8 million, you know, the scheme that was put there, you know, it's a lot of money and it's there for a long time. We need to make sure it's right, as we will do for any other town or village.
And Minister, we have been talking this morning about the Liverpool Ferry Terminal, the ongoing cost, exactly what it is, etc., etc. We know there are a few questions about this in the House of Keys today, so we won't preempt your answers on those now, but I'm sure we'll touch on that in the future. I know you did just want to finally mention there's some work taking place around the sea terminal today, did you say?
Yes, thank you, Ben. We had a bit of damage done down at the sea terminal in the car parking area along the side, looking out towards the Tower Refuge, if you like, the other week. A lot of the glass got broken and the window frames and stuff. So, and we've got contractors in there doing some more work this morning. So if anybody's going into the car park, please be careful. You know, there's contractors in there, but just mind out for your own safety as well, please.
And just to recap, as far as the bus strikes are concerned, it's another meeting this afternoon between government and Unite the Union.
Yes, it is, with MERS involved, yeah.
All right, Minister Tim Crookall, DOI Minister, we appreciate you're very busy at the moment, so appreciate your time and thanks very much indeed for being with us.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.